church. It's been a long time since I've been here, so it's great to be back. So I'll be reading from 1 Peter 1, verses 1 to 5. I'll just start by reading them off. I'll be reading them in NLT. Greetings from Peter. This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And now we live with great expectation. And we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive his salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So I'll just be breaking it down verse by verse. But I do have a quote that, you know, will be related to what I'll be talking about, which says, "Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all the darkness." And that's by Desmond Tutu. So when we talk about hope, we usually talk about worldly hope, as in maybe when in times of struggle we look to hope to get a job or something. But when we're talking about God, God is our hope. God is our way of going around in life as a Christian, because when we talk about worldly stuff, there's nothing that actually compares to him. When we talk about God, or when we talk about after we die, everything here is vanity. We're not taking everything up to heaven. We're leaving everything down here. And so I'd like to go to verse 1 and talk about the historical context behind it. So early Christians were persecuted under the Roman Empire. They were scattered, facing hardship and uncertainty. And in such a time, Peter reminds them of a high calling and purpose. God has chosen them. Just as Israel was chosen by God in the Old Testament, there are early Christians that are now part of God's chosen people. And so Peter addresses the believers as God's elect, chosen by God for a purpose. He has also called them exiles, which highlights the temporary status of earth. In the same way, today's Christians are pilgrims in a world that are not their true home. Sorry. And so our identity of Christ is not shaped by the social status, career, or relationships, but by the fact that God has chosen us. This understanding should shape how we live, how we see ourselves, and how we deal with our life's challenges. In today's world, many people struggle with identity, whether due to external pressures or internal conflicts. Knowing that we are chosen by God gives us a firm foundation. It means that despite external circumstances, everything is worth it because we have God's love for us. So no matter what we go through, no matter whether it be hard or whether it's easy, at the end of the day, this is all for God's will. So the second verse, I like to summarize it as living as pilgrims in a temporary world. The historical context behind that, as we've mentioned before, that Peter uses the term exile purposefully. In the Jewish context, the term was used to refer to those who had been displaced from their land. For early Christians, it was a reminder that their true citizenship was in the kingdom of God, not in their present circumstances or surroundings. Peter reminds Christians that they're exiles in the world, and just like those early Christians, they're also living as sojourners in a world that is not our permanent home. This world is temporary, and while we live here, we shall not get attached to the material things or transient successes. Our hearts that should be set on eternal things. This could be prioritizing relationships, service to others, and spiritual growth over material gain and worldly recognition. It is a reminder that wealth, fame, and success are fleeting, and true security is found in Christ. Verse 3, the historical context talks about how the early Christians were living in intense persecution, and they faced death regularly for their faith. The resurrection of Jesus was just not a theological doctrine. It was a historical event that gave them a reason to live boldly. They knew that death was not the end. The hope they had was living, meaning it was dynamic, transformative, and eternal. Peter praises God for the living hope that we have through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The hope is just a feeling or wish. The hope isn't just a feeling or wish. It's an active faith that's in your heart. It's a life-giving hope that has power because it's based on the reality of Christ's victory over death. There's resilience in suffering. Because of the resurrection, Christians have a hope that transcends over current struggles. This living hope gives us the strength to endure hardship, knowing that they are all temporary at the end of the day, and that eternal life awaits us in heaven. Modern application to this will be, in our world, suffering and death are inevitable, but the hopes of eternal life through Jesus will give us strength to endure. Whether it's personal struggles, illness, or loss, we are anchored in a hope that does not disappoint and does not fade away. Verse 4, in the Roman world, an inheritance was a very important part of one's legacy, but the most secure earthly inheritance could be lost or corrupted. Peter contrasts with the inheritance that the believers have in Christ, which is kept by God in heaven, safe and secure. Peter speaks on the inheritance that awaits believers, one that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, is kept in heaven. The inheritance is secured by God himself and cannot be lost or stolen, unlike the inheritance that we have on earth. Our earthly possessions and accomplishments will fade away, but the inheritance that God offers is eternal. This should affect how we live today, investing in things that have an eternal value, like faith, love, and service to others. It's easy to focus on accumulating wealth, status, or material possessions, but these things don't last. Our true inheritance is found in the promise of eternal life of Christ. Let this truth shape how we spend our energy, time, and resources. And lastly, verse 5, the early Christians were facing persecution and uncertainty, but Peter reassures them that their salvation is safe in God's hand. The idea of bringing shielded by God's power invokes the image that God is a protector, actively guarding us believers through their trials. Peter assures that we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. That this means that while believers can face trials, they are provided by God's power and their salvation is secure. If our salvation is secure, that means that God's power is at work in our lives, ensuring that nothing can separate us from Him, from His love. We can live in confidence and peace, knowing that God is guarding our future. We live in a world full of uncertainties, but the assurance of God's protection helps us face life's challenges. We don't have to live in fear of or in anxiety, knowing that God is our protector and that our salvation is secure in Christ. So to conclude, as Christians, we are chosen by God, living as pilgrims in a temporary world. We are anchored in a living hope that comes from the resurrection of Jesus, and our inheritance is imperishable, is kept by God, and our salvation is secure through His power. So I just want you to think about, in the face of life's struggles, let us not lose sight of eternal hope. Let's live with a clear sense of identity in Christ. Embrace our roles as pilgrims on earth, and invest in the eternal inheritance that God awaits us. We should reflect on where our hope is anchored. Are you investing in temporary things, or are you building up treasures that will last forever? Let us live with the confidence that and hope that Peter speaks of, knowing that for God is faithful and our future is secure in Him. So I'd just like to close with a prayer. God, I thank you, Lord, so much for bringing us to earth to spread the gospel, to spread your word, Lord, so more people will come to you, Lord. Let them not waste their time on material things, but spend all their time on building up their treasures for the afterlife, for heaven, Lord. I pray that keep their faith strong and secure, and let them not be a failure, but successful inheritors of your treasures in heaven, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.